It is a huge privilege to be here, and it's just been a really fun getting to know your pastor a little bit over the phone and in Facebook, and I do love the Michigan. I grew up in Dayton for most of my life, and I've been harassed my whole life for being a Michigan fan. And so it's just great to be here and to not know that that's not going to happen. But when I was in high school in the 90s when we were whooping OSU, you guys remember the glory days in the 90s, all my friends would have a huge party every year for the big game. And, you know, we did everything together. There's probably 25 of us. And that one day a year, they would not invite me. And then I would call them after and rub it in their face, and it was awesome. But yeah, it's just a great, it's really great to be here. It's great to be with just God's family. And also just to be with other Alliance people. It's just a great privilege. And knowing that you have the same heart for what God is doing around the world, what He wants to accomplish, expanding His kingdom. And I know that you want to be a part of that and that we want to be a part of that as well. As I share this morning, just a few things. What I want to accomplish, this is our family. You see the picture there? What I want to accomplish is just really hopefully to be an encouragement to you as I share our testimony and how God has really brought us to this place where we are. We were appointed by the board of directors of the Alliance, which is kind of the head honchos of our denomination. They appointed us to serve in the Dominican Republic, and it's been our lifelong kind of dream to do that. And so we're just really excited to be able to do that. We leave Wednesday for our first term. And so we're a little bit stressed. You know, we've got quite a bit more to pack and few more things to put in storage. But yeah, we're really, really blessed to be able to go on Wednesday to travel down to the Dominican, where we'll be there for a four-year term, and then just kind of a typical 1 year back, and then another 4 years. But it's just a huge privilege. And also, so I want to share how God led us to this journey. I want to share a little bit about Envision. We are serving with Envision, which is the new arm of Alliance Missions. What I've heard a lot is that people say, yeah, we've heard of Envision. We know that it's part of the Alliance work, but we have no idea what they do. And so I want to share a little bit about that. And then also what we'll be doing in the Dominican Republic specifically, and how God is really just opening all kinds of incredible doors and opportunities for ministry there that we get to join and be a part of. And also, just one other thing, too, as I share this morning, know that as I share and as I kind of share you with my heart as I open up, that this is my wife's heart, too. Now I get the privilege of doing most of the speaking, and she gets to listen to the same thing every week. But this is her heart. I'm not dragging her to the mission field. She didn't even just agree to go along with this. But God has called her in her own unique calling to serve in an overseas setting when she was in high school as well. So know that this is her passion, every bit as much as it is mine. And we're just really excited to be able to serve. This is our family. We have three kids. They're with grandparents today down in Toledo. Basically, our parents, both of our parents have said we want the kids as much as possible until you leave on Wednesday. So they're there spending time with them. But our son Andrew, he is 7. He's going to be 8 in June. Everyone says he looks just like me, and his personality is just like mine. So I can't wait till he's a teenager and we butt heads because we're so much alike. It's going to be fun. But he's a joy. And, you know, we took him on a short trip in November to kind of check out the ministry, and we took him with us. And he's really excited to go. I know he's going to miss family. He's definitely a part of our ministry and just a huge joy to have as a son. Our other son, Benjamin, he is 4. And if you've seen the Lego movie, there's a song in it called Everything is Awesome. That is his life. If you ask him, how was school? How was church? How was grandma's house? I mean, anything that he did, his response, it was awesome. He's just kind of that personality. He's just full of life and just a lot of fun. And our two boys love to pick at each other, just like brothers do. But they're a lot of fun to be with. Our daughter, Lily, we actually share a birthday, which is pretty great. So she turned 2 at the beginning of March, and she thinks that she runs our house, and she doesn't, but she thinks she does, and she's a lot of fun. We're really counting on her being really a first language Spanish speaker. She doesn't say a whole lot in English yet, so we're counting on her teaching us Spanish. What I hear a lot is that the missionary kids will tell their parents, no, Mom, no, Dad, you don't say it that way, you say it this way. So we're hoping that she'll do that for us. But she's just a huge joy and just super sweet. And we're really excited to be able to take 3 kids to the mission field, you know, to have them be part of our ministry. But the story of my life and how God called me to be a missionary the pastor mentioned, we've talked a little bit about this, and I really kind of relate my story to the story of Joseph. You know, God gave him a vision and a dream for his life, and then he hit some bumps in the road. And I'm sure at points when he was in Potiphar's house, when he was in prison, that he said, "This just isn't going to happen. I missed it," or "God deceived me," or whatever the thoughts were going through his head. You know, in his situation, I'm sure he had really no hope of ever getting out of that situation. That he felt, you know, there was no one ever said, "Okay, in 5 years you'll get out of here." He just was there and really struggling. And so that's kind of our story a little bit, and how God called us to ministry and how he called us to this particular spot. And we're just really excited to go. I grew up in an incredible, godly Christian home. Super thankful for my parents who love Jesus. Not a perfect family, but I have an incredible heritage of grandparents who love the Lord. You know, I've been in church my whole life, so I speak fluent Christianese. I'm pretty good at it, so we could use all the big words. But just a great, great heritage, people that love the Lord. And I remember one day when I was 6 years old, sitting there in our church service. I grew up in a Baptist church. I didn't get right with God till later and joined the Alliance, but I grew up in a great church, and those people love Jesus. And I actually still talk to my pastor. He's a godly man. And that particular Sunday, he preached on hell. As a six-year-old, I knew I didn't want to go there. And as a six-year-old mind, there's really two motivations to giving your heart to Jesus. That's the fear of hell and the promise of heaven. As we mature and we grow in our faith, we learn the many, many blessings and reasons to be in relationship with Jesus. But for my life at that point, I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to be with my family in heaven one day. And so that evening, as the Holy Spirit was convicting me, as he was working in my life, I asked my dad that night if he would pray with me, and I received Christ as my Savior at 6 years old. And it changed my life. Not that I stopped having these incredible sins in my life. I wasn't involved in drugs as a six-year-old or anything like that, but I had an immediate sense of peace come over me that I was going to be okay, that the Lord was with me, and that I could rely and depend upon him for my life. God would continue to work in my life, and God really, the initial calling to ministry for me happened in seventh grade. I was 12 years old, just getting ready to turn 13. So if you're that age this morning, know that God could be calling you to ministry now. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have. If you know Christ as your Savior, if he's in your life, you have the Holy Spirit, the same one that I have, and he could be speaking to you now. And he was speaking to me when I was 12. Me and my best friend at the time were getting ready to go into youth group, and we really sensed that there's more to the Christian life than showing up to church on Sunday, having fire insurance, so that when we die, we would go to heaven. That there had to be more to this life. And we wanted an intimate, deep relationship with Jesus. And we desired that. So we began, the two of us, holding each other accountable. We read, and it was really simple. And I think even godly, godly people who are mature in their faith need these three things. They need to be in God's Word every day. They need to be in prayer every day. And they need to be in an accountable relationship with someone. And so we just kind of stumbled upon this. And the two of us began to do this for one another. And our relationship with the Lord really grew. And so much that at the beginning, and things were going so well for us, that we really said, we really ought to be, our friends need to be doing this too. And if you know me at the time, you know that I was incredibly shy. And to talk in front of like more than two people, it was just not going to happen. I was scared to death. But when God calls us to something, he equips us. So God had called us to really, to make this, and to encourage our friends to do this. And we went to a pretty large Christian school. We had 170 in our class, and we just said, well, let's encourage our friends to do this. So we started a ministry where we would meet every Wednesday at lunchtime, and we would just we'd talk about what God was teaching us. We'd lead a little devotional, and we would break up into accountability groups, and we would talk about what God was teaching us, how we were doing in our quiet time. And we had like 50 kids coming to this in seventh grade, where we were all growing closer to the Lord. And it was really the initial calling in my life to ministry, and it was exciting. I didn't really, at that time, God narrows that focus, and I didn't realize at the time it would someday be full-time missionary work, but he called me to ministry. Not even really vocational ministry, but just to be involved in spiritual leadership with people. It was an exciting time. And then as God was continuing to work in my life, I remember sitting one day, I was reading my Bible. Let me go forward. One more. There we go. I was reading my Bible, and I said, "Lord, I want to serve you with my life, but I don't know what that means. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know if you want me to be in full-time ministry or just to be, you know, just a godly person plugged into a church. What do you want from my life? So I opened the Bible randomly, as we do a lot of times, and asked the Lord to speak to us through random passages of Scripture. And I was 16 at this time. And this is what I opened up to. And at the time, I didn't really realize this is actually a Scripture that's a prophecy about Jesus. And he quotes this in the New Testament and says, when he reads it, he says, in this reading it has been fulfilled. So it's really about Jesus. But I really think that if we are really little Jesuses or little Christ, that this verse can apply to us as well. Oop, went too far. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And when I read this, I really instantly knew that God wanted me in full-time ministry. That he wanted me bringing good news to the poor. That he wanted me to be able to open the prison to those who are bound. And not necessarily a literal physical prison. There's so many people, probably in your neighborhood, who are in prison and they're addicted to sin. They're addicted to whatever it is. They're bound to some horrible thing in their life. And Jesus Christ offers freedom from that. And so I knew at this moment that God wanted me involved in that. He wanted me to be a part of expanding the kingdom of God. And then just a few short weeks or a few short months later, I was sitting in a chapel service, and I'm sure you've had this experience where you don't remember a word that the speaker spoke. I've been there, but I knew clearly at that moment that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And he was telling me, I want you to serve me with your life as a missionary. I want you to go to some other part of the world and share me with those that you'll come into contact with. So as a 16-year-old kid, I said, okay, God, if you want me to be a missionary, a natural kind of first step would, all right, let's go on a short-term trip. It'd be a good natural first step for me. And so I had the opportunity in high school to go to China for a month. And it was an incredibly exciting time. It was 1997. And it was actually, we flew into Hong Kong, and they were changing power from England to China at that time. So it was military everywhere, and it was really intense. But we flew into the city, and God spoke to me again and said, this is exactly what I want you to do. And the way he did that was we had landed in the city, and we were helping some missionaries, and we were staying in one end of the city, and he lived on the other. And if you know Hong Kong, it's an absolutely enormous, huge, huge place. And about 10 o'clock at night, we had brought him a number of items that he had asked us to bring, and we, of course, did that. And he said, I need someone to help me take back this stuff to my apartment. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So we walk the city, a whole number of city blocks. We get on the subway. We switch lines two or three times. Then we walk the city a whole bunch more and finally go up eight flights of stairs to his apartment, and we drop the stuff. And then it's about 10:30 to 10:45, somewhere in that range. And he says, okay, are you good to go back? And I just kind of looked at him like, okay. And so I proceeded to walk around Hong Kong as a 16-year-old in the middle of the night all by myself. I never told my mom that story because she would have killed that missionary. And if you ever come on a short-term trip to the Dominican Republic, I will never, ever do that to any of you. But God used that experience in my life to really, and it was so awesome. I loved every minute of it, just being able to say, you know, I love traveling, and I love being in those places. And when I was wandering around, the Lord said to me, this is exactly what I want you to do. I've given you this unnatural ability to not be afraid when you should be. And as I was wandered around, and I want you to take me to places like this, where you don't know the culture, you don't know the language, but I'm preparing you to be able to do this. And it was really, it was incredible. Thankfully, I remember I just had to have a visual image of what those train stations looked like so I could get on and off the right ones, because it was all written in Chinese. But I did manage to get back to our hotel, praise the Lord. But it was a really powerful experience. God continued to confirm missions in my life and in my wife's life in a number of ways. You know, he spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. He spoke to me through that circumstance of being in Hong Kong. He spoke to me in some other ways. To be an Alliance missionary, you have to be debt-free before you can go. And we were all set to move to NIAC, to go to Alliance Theological Seminary, because we had to have seminary to be Alliance missionaries. And we were going to move into Manhattan. We were really excited about it. We were ready to bury ourselves in huge debt to go to seminary. And just as we were ready to do that, God opened up a branch campus of Alliance Theological Seminary in Dayton, 10 minutes from our house. We already had decent, pretty good jobs. We owned our home. And I think God was saying, okay, I'm going to free you from burying yourself in debt so that you can get to the mission field. And God continued to speak into our lives. And at one point, we asked our elders and our pastors, you know, because I believe that God can speak to us through our church leaders, the elders and our pastors in our lives. And they laid hands on us and they said, yes, we believe this is what God has for you and what God wants for your life. And so we continued. I was on staff at our home church in Dayton. And the national office came to us and they said, if you're going to serve overseas with the Alliance, we really think you should serve in a church away from home. Basically, the idea that if you can't handle moving out of state, how in the world are you going to handle moving overseas? So we moved from Dayton, and we've been serving the last 6 years in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, which is just 5 miles across the Ohio border from Youngstown. And we've had an incredible time there, challenging time, sometimes difficult, but we've really seen God's hand and His blessing. And one of the ways that this really came true, and I really see it as a blessing now, as we were ministering there, things were going pretty well. You know, there's some difficulties, but things were going pretty well. And the national leaders happened to be coming through the area one day, and they wanted to meet with us. I thought the meeting was just going to be, hey, let's check in. How's it going? You know, how are you doing with this area and this area? And I just thought it was just a checkup. And they came and met with us. And we actually had to leave for 10 days after that, so I was going to be gone. And so I said, sure, coming in. And they sat down with me and they said, we're not going to be sending you overseas with the Alliance. We don't think you should be a missionary. We think that you'd be better served as a pastor or in some other form of ministry. But overseas missions is not for you. And we were just crushed, completely devastated. And some of you are in that situation this morning where God has called you to something or He has given you a vision for your life. And it is not going the way you thought it would go. Joseph, in his life, God gave him a vision that one day he would rule over his brothers and even his parents. And he finds himself in the bottom of a pit saying, God, what are you doing? Why am I in this situation? How can you allow this to happen? You promised that this would happen. And we had all those thoughts. You know, thoughts, I remember sitting, I actually had to leave that afternoon. So Bethany and I weren't even really able to grieve together. I had to go to church camp that our district does, that's another story. But and so I was sitting there with one of our district leaders, and I just remember just weeping. I was just so brokenhearted. And God, why are you doing this? And so we struggled for a long time. You struggled with, just to be really honest, struggled with depression, struggled with doubting our calling. God, if I missed my calling for the last 10 to 15 years of my life, how do I know anything else is right? You know, if I missed it this badly, how do I know that what I'm doing now is even what you really want me to do? And so we struggled with all of those thoughts, all those doubts. Really, you know, God, should I even be in ministry anymore at all? Should I just quit the pastorate? But we did three things that really helped us through that process. And I think three things that can really help you if you're really struggling. God, what are you doing? Why is my life not going how I thought it was going to go? Not things that we necessarily intentionally did, but three things that we had really godly counsel that really helped us navigate some of these things, at least two of them out of the three. And I think two of these things that Joseph did as well. First thing Joseph didn't really do because he didn't have this, but we have the great privilege of being involved in the church. Joseph didn't have the church, but we have the church. And so one of the things that we did is we had some godly people encourage us to, hey, don't quit. You're so close to being done with ordination. Our church at the time didn't have a senior pastor, so I was really kind of the interim pastor at the time. I said, please don't leave the church with no pastor. Wait at least till we have a new senior. So I said, okay, I'll do that. I don't want to make any big rash decisions while I'm really hurting. And so we decided to lean into the church, lean into the people that care about us. So many times when people are hurting, you know, I was also embarrassed being told no, like, well, there must be something wrong with me, and these people in the church are thinking, oh, he must have not been, he's not good enough. So I was embarrassed. I didn't want to face those people, but we leaned into those people. You know, the people in the church, they're the ones who love us. They're the ones who care about us, and they want to grieve with us. They want to care for us. They want to be, just stand with us. Sometimes they want to just give you a hug and hold on to you. And so we did that. We leaned into the people instead of pulling away. So many people pull away from the church when they're hurting or embarrassed or whatever's going on, and we need to lean in. So we leaned in, and we finished ordination, and we served the church. The second thing I think we did that Joseph also did was we tried to serve faithfully where we were at. If you read the story of Joseph in Genesis, when he was in Potiphar's house, God blessed him in his work. He was faithful to the Lord. He obviously was faithful to the Lord. He ran from Potiphar's wife. He wasn't willing to allow himself just to dive into sin. It would have been easy to do that because he was probably mad at God. God, why are you doing this? So I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm going to kind of wreck things. But he chose to be faithful and to serve where he was at. Even when he went into prison, he served faithfully there, and he was given a lot of responsibility there. So we tried, through the counsel of some godly people, just to serve faithfully where we were at. You know, it's not exactly what we thought we would be doing with our lives, but God has us here for a reason, and we want to make the most of this opportunity. So we continued to serve, and we were actually, after we were told no, we were there at that church for another 4 years and tried to do the best that we could. And we saw some lives changed, and we were able to at least make some impact in Newcastle, and it was just a huge blessing. So we tried to serve faithfully. The third thing that we did that really made the biggest difference for me and my wife as well, as this last summer, we were sitting at council. And if you don't know what council is the gathering of all the pastors and missionaries and a lot of lay people from the whole country of our denomination. And they gather in a different city every other year, and they do all kinds of business, but they do a lot of incredible, have great speakers and really great worship. And at the end of council every time, we were sitting in Tampa. My wife, this is her first council she's ever been to. And we were sitting there, and they do a huge missions march at the end of every council. So we've got several thousand Alliance people and several hundred of our missionaries, and they march around the room while worship is being played, and they carry a huge flag of the country they serve, and they wear a silly outfit from the country that they're in. At least I've always thought that. And it's a really powerful, incredible time. Just to see what God is doing around the world, just to celebrate His faithfulness to the work of the Alliance. But for me, it was a painful thing to sit in that service and say, God, why am I not marching? Why don't I have a flag and a silly outfit on and being able to celebrate, you know, being serving overseas? And it was hard and painful. In fact, the council before that, I just skipped that service. It was too hard. But this one, we're sitting there. And I said, okay, God, I'll sit through this. You know, it's exciting, and I want to celebrate what other people are doing. But as we're sitting there, all these dark feelings come up in my heart. God, why am I not serving? All the things that we think of when things aren't going the way we planned. And Jesus clearly spoke to me in that moment. And He said to me, am I enough? Am I enough for you? Or do you need to be a missionary to be fulfilled in life? Do you even need to be a pastor to be fulfilled in life? Do you need your family to be fulfilled in life? Or am I enough for you? And Jesus came to give us life, and He came to give us life abundantly, but that always includes Him. And when we have Him in His proper place, we are fulfilled. I really believe that we are fulfilled when we put Jesus in the place that He belongs, in the place of God, in the place of the one we worship, and we worship nothing else. We can truly be fulfilled in life. That Jesus really is enough to make our lives whole, to make our lives fulfilled. And so I said to Jesus in that moment, there's really only one answer to that question when He asked, am I enough? And I said, Jesus, if I'm never a missionary, if I never even go on a short-term trip the rest of my life, as long as I have You, it's enough. If I get fired from my pastor job someday, if I have You, it's enough. And that really was a huge turning point for me. It really is what made the difference. While we were at council, we actually had the opportunity to begin to learn about Envision. It's a new ministry of the Alliance, or new-ish ministry. We've been around for 7 or 8 years. And we just got really excited about what they do. We felt maybe this could be a good fit for us. We know we were told no the first time, but this is great. We love this. And it's just exactly what we would love to do in an overseas setting. And we began to explore that. And I think after that moment, when I said, Jesus, if I'm never a missionary, as long as I have you, I'm enough, God really began to open some doors. We began to pursue this position with Envision. They had an opening in the Dominican Republic, and we had always felt called to serve in a Latin country. And so we began to pursue this spot, and it was crazy. Normally, when you apply for a position in the Alliance overseas, it can take 2 or 3 or 4 years before you're actually appointed to serve overseas, as you have to jump through a lot of different hoops. But when God opened this door, when we applied for this position, when we said, Jesus, you're enough, we applied that same week, and 3 months later, we were appointed by the board of directors of the Alliance. And I think what it was is Jesus, he was saying to me, you didn't miss your calling. You didn't misunderstand me, but you had to learn some things. You needed to make me first, not missions first. I had turned a good thing into a God thing, and I needed Jesus to really, I needed to use missions to serve him rather than use Jesus to make missions happen. And so we're really excited to be able to go to serve with the Christian Missionary Alliance in the Dominican Republic. We've seen his hand upon this the whole entire time. It's just been an incredible journey. I want to show just a few things about Envision, just to share with you what it is. Envision was started 7 or 8 years ago by Jason Ostrander, who used to be the National Youth Director of the Alliance. And he saw a big problem going on in that the millennial generation, the 18 to 30-year-olds, are just... The millennial generation, 18 to 30-year-olds, are just checking out of church. They're not showing up. They're finding other things to do, other ways to spend their time, and this is a big problem. We want to really remedy that. But also the millennial generation, they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They're really engaged in community service and making the lives of people around them better. But I want people, and I think you do too, is that we understand that the greatest thing that they could be involved in, the biggest thing that they could ever invest their life in, is the gospel. And taking that around the world, taking that to their neighbors and friends. So we want to engage this generation to really have them be involved in kingdom change. One of the cool things that happened, actually, and as God continued to work, is that at Life is the big national gathering of Alliance youth. This past year, they took the offering for our particular ministry. We hadn't even been accepted in this spot yet, but they took the offering for our ministry there. And there's another couple who have been there for 2 years that we're joining. And there's just a huge amount of need there. And as we were applying for this position, they showed this video. They take an offering every year at Life, and it goes to ministry. And they showed this video to encourage people to be involved in the ministry of Envision in the Dominican Republic. So I want to show this video. And this is our new youth director, James Grout, explaining what's going on in the Dominican Republic.
The Alliance has been in the Dominican Republic for a long time. There are over 100 churches in this new alliance. But even with all of those great churches, this country is a country of great need. And our missionaries and our pastors coming around want to make a difference. I met one of the pastors of a church here in Santiago yesterday. His name is Luis. And Luis is blind. Luis is wet and yellow, leaves him almost everywhere he needs to go. But he's doing a great thing in a really needy community. Miguel runs the after school program for all the children in that neighborhood. And they meet under a giant mango tree, which is a beautiful tree and cast shade for 105 children. The shade is right in the middle of the road. So every time a car comes through, they have to stop the after school program, move the children inside so that the car can pass and then start again. And the shade doesn't do anything when it rains. What this little church needs in order to reach those children, to reach those families, is building. They've already started building. They've got quite a bit of work left to do on that building. And they need help. In the community that I live in, probably in the community that you live in, if we wanted to build a building, we would just ask people to give them money, and we would hire a contractor and get the work done. They would like to do that here. People give all that they can, and there's still money. They need help. They're willing to work. They're willing to give. But they need help. I know there are a lot of things that you can spend your money on here at Life this week.
and that's okay, those are good things. But I just want to encourage you to set something aside. We're going to take this offering Friday night, and I believe that we can raise everything we need to accomplish all that they need in the Dominican Republic. Let's do this thing together.
So the Alliance Youth this past summer, as the offering was taken, raised $100,000 to give to the ministry in the Dominican Republic. And we've seen God use that in powerful, powerful ways. If you go to the Facebook page of the Santiago Experience, the ministry we're involved in, there's a follow-up video to that, and you actually can see the completed building. So it's a little homework for you to go and check out what God has done in that particular site. It's just really awesome. So we begin to continue to pursue this. As we engage the millennial generation here in the United States, as they come alongside us and serve, we want them to really come away with three things. And I didn't mention this before, but we have more than one site around the world. We have 15 sites around the world that you can go and serve and be involved in really incredible ministries. But we want anyone that goes to any of our sites, including the Dominican, to really come away with three things. We want people to be involved in spiritual formation. We want them to be discipled. People are either going closer to the Lord or farther away. I know in my life, when my prayer life suffers, when my Bible reading suffers, that I don't sit in neutral. That my relationship with the Lord goes down. And so it's either going up or down. If I decide to not talk to my wife for a month, our relationship was going to suffer. I don't know if any guys have ever tried that. I wouldn't recommend it. But we're either going, and just like a relationship with the Lord, we're either going closer or farther away. And we want people to be in deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, to know Him and to know about Him. We also want people to be personally developed. I got to go with Alliance Youth Corps, which is now part of Envision. I spent a summer in Peru, and I was able to have these kinds of questions answered for me as those people invested in my life. You know, what does my calling look like? How do I lead others, let alone myself? What does a healthy marriage look like in an overseas setting? A lot of these types of questions, we want to work with short-termers, interns as well. Also, missional living. I'm sure that you know better than I do that there are lost people probably right next door to your church. There are people living in darkness that have no hope. And we want people, when they come to one of our sites, to our site, the Dominican Republic, so many times people come to on a short-term trip, they're bold to share their faith, they're creative to share their faith, do whatever it takes to see people come to know Jesus, and then when they return to the local context, all that goes away. We want people to learn to do missions in our site, in the Dominican, but then they come back to Ann Arbor, or they come back to Dayton, or wherever they're from, and they're missionaries there. They're missionaries here. God didn't give the Great Commission to just the elite forces. God gave the Great Commission to every single one of us. We are all responsible. When we stand before the Lord, how did you engage the people around you with the gospel? We're all responsible to fulfill the Great Commission. So we want to create missional people whenever they come to the Dominican. This is a map of the Dominican Republic. Santo Domingo is the capital, but we'll be serving in Santiago. It's in the northern part of the country. It's the second largest city there, and we can reach about 30 of the Alliance churches within an hour of Santiago. So we minister and we walk alongside all of those churches. We really believe that this is their ministry. They're there for the long haul, so we want to be a blessing to them. This isn't our work, and when short-term teams come, it's not our work, it's their work, and we want to bless them and help them however we can. If you go to we actually have a website and a Facebook page. If you go to thesantiagoexperience.com, it's on our prayer cards, which we have some, and we'd love to pass those out when we leave. You can go to that website. We also, on Facebook, go to facebook.com and just search for The Santiago Experience. That's actually where that video is that I mentioned. You can go to that. But this is a video. This explains a little bit about what we do at our particular site. Some sites around the world build wells. Some of them are involved in stopping human trafficking. But we are really connected to the National Alliance Church there, and so we get to partner with them. So this is a little video of my boss and his wife and the ministry we can do in the Dominican.
We do is we invite churches from the United States that come and work with us. And our objective is to walk alongside the national church here. And we ask our teams to come and to be involved in ministries like construction, like Vacation Bible School, teaching ESL. We go and we do sports ministry. However your team is gifted, we want to use you to walk alongside the national church here.
Part of what we do here with the San Diego Experience is bringing groups to work alongside these groups like this one here in Moldcast. The group came prepared to share a story about Jesus, came to share songs, came to do various activities such as crafts and games with the kids. It's all about getting to have a hands-on relationship with these kids, speaking into their lives, and just sharing the love of Jesus with them.
We have the privilege of partnering with the National Church here at the Dominican Republic by walking alongside them with construction projects. Today we're in Managua, and we're helping the National Church here build a church building. This building will be able to seat 200 people, and we're going to bring our teams in, and we're walking alongside the National Church, helping them so that they'll have a place to meet to congregate here in Managua.
Here in front of the Mexican Cafe in the heart of Santiago, I have Sierra Rosa with us, who will be managing the cafe.
Well, Colegio Cafe is going to be a place for the people that we need to live. The people that maybe don't even go, they don't have a place for private buildings. They can come here, the up and water to the city. We want to make real a relationship with them and
one of the ways that we walk alongside the National Church is by helping with outreach. The Northern District has asked us to come with our teams and help out with outreach, varying from youth outreach, sports ministry, children's ministry, women's ministry. Last year we did an exercise class. This year we did a medical ministry. Last night we did a youth event, and tonight we're in La Mesa for doing a concert. Come and check us out.
So that's a little bit of what we do in the Dominican. We do a lot of several other things as well. We're really excited to go Wednesday. There's actually going to be a team there when we get there. And so I don't know how we're going to move in and buy beds. We have to furnish our house completely, but we'll figure it out. We'll get there on Wednesday. But we'd really just appreciate your prayers. You know, as your pastor read that passage, I know I'm out of time, but pastor read that passage from Philippians. And Paul, as he's writing that letter, it's really a thank you letter from a partnering church. And Paul, as he mentions, as he talks about them being partners from the first day in the gospel. And we're really looking for churches to partner not only with us, but with the churches in the Dominican Republic. We would like to see in the next few years 10 to 12 churches planted all along the North Coast. Just the leadership there is, in tears, were telling us how desperately they want to see those churches planted. And we get to be a part of helping them do that. And we'd love to have you be a part of that as well. So pray for us. God has really also been incredibly faithful with Envision. Traditional Alliance missionaries, they're just paid out of the Great Commission Fund. But with Envision and with some other Alliance arms, we had to raise our own support. God has been incredibly faithful in our support raising. We were told it would take at least a year to raise all of our funds. And God opened up really the floodgates. And our personal regular monthly support was raised in 2 months. It was just a confirmation of God's blessing that this is exactly where He wants us and what He wants us to do. But we are still raising funds for the ministry. We want churches like this one to partner with what's going on in the Dominican Republic, to invest not only finances but prayer and time as well in coming and serving alongside of us. We also still need some funds for outfit because we have to, when we get there, we got to buy beds and furnish a kitchen and everything else that you would need in the house. We're walking into an empty one. And so we've sold 95% of the things we own here in the United States to be able to go and do that. So we would really appreciate your prayers and support in that way. Just some prayer requests for us as we go, and I'll be really brief. One is pray for our kids. God called my wife and I to this, but He needs to speak to them as well. And He needs to continue to work in their lives that they would just have a good transition. It's going, I'm sure there will be hard days for them. But we want to make sure that we're sensitive to them and we can just be really paying attention to what's going on in their hearts. Secondly, I pray for our language acquisition. We start language school in September. They speak Spanish there, and so we want to be able to be fluent so we can just have really great relationships with the people there. And then just pray, for just protection from spiritual attack. God has really been faithful in this whole process, but even last night, I just kind of got a huge bomb dropped on me just 3 days before we left, and I'm kind of struggling with it. I was sitting here as we were worshiping, and I'm struggling a little bit. I didn't anticipate the bomb being dropped on me 2 days before we left. And I think that's really Satan's attack to just discourage and to get my mind off of this transition. So pray for us as we wrestle with that and work through that. And it's difficult. It's a family situation, and we're leaving, and now we can't really be here to be involved, and so that's difficult. So pray for that. And then just pray for the ministry in general as we go, that God's hand would be upon it. We would really appreciate that. God has been incredibly faithful. I wish I could share more. I probably could share for another half hour on just how he's gone before us, how he's been with us through this whole journey. And know, too, that if you're struggling this morning with your circumstances in life, God has not forgotten you. God is working, and he loves you, and he wants to see he's going to see that dream that he has given you fulfilled in your life. It may not happen today, but God is faithful, and just as he was faithful in our lives and in Joseph's life as well. I'm just going to pray and then ask the pastor to come. God, we praise you and thank you so much for today. I pray that you would just bless this church, bless this congregation, these people. Lord, and I pray that even if it encouraged one person today who's struggling, Lord, that they would know that you are with them and that you love them and that you care about them and that you did not lie to them about their calling or vision for their future, but God, you are with them. Lord, so bless them. Lord, I pray for this church and their heart for missions, Lord, that they would be on board with what you're doing around the world, Lord, that they would be involved in the Great Commission, not here, and as well as in the Dominican and everywhere else, Lord, that would be their heart and their passion. So bless them this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.